Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And Jen, we are having biblical rains here in New York today.
Oh, really?
Biblical.
What is it? Are you having a hurricane? Why? It's the weather podcast again. What is it?
I think it's the leftovers from a hurricane.
Okay. We're just having dry weather here. It's all been fine. It's been kind of perfect. Last night was the full moon, and I went for my full moon, my moon hike that I go on, my hippie moon hike.
Do you go alone or do you go with people?
I go with my friend Quinn, and it's the moon rise and the sunset at the same time. You see them both at the top of the mountain in Griffith Park, or hill. I don't know. Are they mountains at this in a city? I don't what the fuck is it? I don't know. It was very nice. My friend Quinn was a little bit giving me the business because I don't know. I guess I'm a structure person. Like, she was like, why did you get a job and not like have your own Substack? Like, why didn't you like, why this, why that? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I guess I like having a job. It's like the working class thing in me. Like, other things just don't make sense to me as much. I have a really hard time. It's not that I'm not entrepreneurial, but I think I like structure. I think I'm a job
person. You
know,
I understand that in a new way about you since I'm reading your book.
Oh. Oh, shit. What part are you up to in my book?
Post-Lucky. You're pregnant.
Oh, God.
You're pregnant. A baby has not appeared.
Oh, baby's about to appear. That's... No, but I think I am. I don't know what that means about me, but I think of myself as being like, you ever think about this? Like, I think about myself as being kind of a courageous and ballsy person, but when it actually comes down to it, I'm not actually that courageous and ballsy. Not that that fucking, none of it matters. But anyway, that's something I've been thinking about. If you're a structured person or not a structured person, I think I do better with structure.
Well, I would say again, since I'm reading your book, I would describe you as a very courageous and ballsy person who took many chances and stepped into many situations where they didn't know what they were going to find.
That's really nice. And now I'm going to cry. Let's not cry on the podcast.
I'm such a crybaby.
I'm just feeling like such a puss, you know? Anyway, I'm super excited about my new job. And hi, Yahoo people. By the way, I've been getting slacked by Yahoo people who listen to the show. So hello. Oh,
really?
Yes. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. I'm like, I can't either. I went back to Yahoo, everyone. That's the big headline. I went back to Yahoo as a beauty writer. I went basically back to the job I had 15 years ago, which was a job I really loved a lot. And then anyway, so I'm going to be a beauty writer. If anybody's not reading our Facebook or our Patreon, I am now a beauty writer for women post 40, but really for women post 50. And that's going to be my entire beat, which I'm excited about.
I can't wait. And you're going to get so much product.
I've already started, but I'm also like learning about trends. Like, do you know what mermaid core is?
I feel like that sounds vaguely familiar. Is it like with long flowy hair? And
no, it's nothing. No, it's not Little Mermaid at all. It's all about like a dewy face.
Okay.
It's all about like a wet looking face. So there's all these products that just bring a lot of hydration to your face. It's similar to, because now I'm on this whole track, it's similar to the glazed donut look.
Oh, which I know about because that's Hailey Bieber. That was her invention.
So exactly. So it's,
which let's not even mention that I knew that.
I love that you knew that. But like, Mermaid Core is, they're creating these products now to give you like a very, very, it's like a wet look, basically. So a lot of these like young people TikTok trends are actually amazingly good for older skin. Like, I'm so excited to translate like the young, I've been on TikTok. It's been a fucking nightmare, but like, it's like, I'm very excited to figure out like what will work for us, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm into it. I did my idea memo in like 3 hours. I was like, and also thinning hair. And also,
yes, it's not that hard when you're actually going through all of it.
Exactly.
Just start at the feet and move up.
Exactly. 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 So anyway, that's my week. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. You know, I'm accepting that summer is well and truly completely over.
Is it cold too there?
It's a little chilly. And I've been thinking about myself like this time last year compared to now. And as far as I can tell, there's one big difference.
And what is it?
I think about Taylor Swift a lot more now.
Wait.
Well, because she was all over my reels all summer because of this tour. And because like, you know, and then she did this thing. Maybe I talked about this on the podcast. I don't know if I've shared my newfound Taylor Swift fascination with the podcast, but she did this thing where she gave all the Teamster truckers on her tour, of which there are dozens because the set is so complicated and big, and gave them all $100,000 bonuses.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that tour, imagine how much money she made on that tour.
I mean, an insane. And she's still making it. She mints money.
Yeah.
She mints money. But there are two pieces that I read recently. One of them was from a psychotherapist who works mostly with adolescent girls talking about their incredible anxiety about going to see Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Like,
okay.
What am I going to do while the opening band is playing? What am I going to do before she gets on stage? How am I going to react?
Yeah.
This has led, and this wasn't in the article, but I choose to believe it from the person who told me, this has led to the sale of a lot of adult diapers for people who are going to be attending the show.
Come on, get out of here. Get out of town. I can't.
I'm just talking about
adult diapers for like teenagers.
For like, because you're going to pee yourself.
That happened
when the Beatles came. I don't know. Maybe because, I don't know.
I think you might be right.
Maybe it's not true.
It could totally be true. But here's my question. All right. Like, yes, of course, she's fucking fascinating as a phenomenon. Here is my real question to you.
Yes.
Do you like Taylor Swift's music?
I sing some songs to myself. I mean, I think that there are certain, I like We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. I like Shake It Off.
Okay. Yes.
They're not, I mean, Paul's like, these are novelty songs, Kim. And that may be true.
I like I'm the Problem, It's Me, whatever that is. It's me, I'm the Problem, It's Me. I can relate to that song a lot.
I just think she's better than she has to be, you know, and I think that's maybe why she's so huge, because she's a better songwriter than she'd probably have to be. She's a better performer, I mean, than most young pop stars.
Yes.
Of course, she's not that young anymore either. She's 33.
Right.
Which I know because I've read every single article about her and the football player she's dating.
Oh, my God. Well, apparently, like now those football sales of those tickets.
Jerseys.
Yes,
they call them jerseys. Oh, no, but tickets to the games also.
Yeah, tickets to the games, but also the jerseys, but also the games. That's what I was looking for.
I love that. I just love the idea of a bunch of Taylor Swift fans like showing up at a Kansas City Chiefs game to see Taylor Swift and scream. I just love the joining of these two disparate groups.
No, and you know what else I like about her? Like, she has good style, and it's evolving. She's always evolving her style. Like, she, like, for whatever that, like, moody one was when she had the braids as headband and all of the knits and the wool, and it was, like, you know, all, like, rainy and misty and moody. She had that look. Like, now she's in more of a glamorous, like, red lipstick look. Like, she always looks good, which I appreciate an evolving style. I always felt, this was probably for mental health reasons and a number of other things, but I always felt sad seeing Britney Spears, someone with so much money, walking around a, you know, gas station barefoot. Like, I was always like, oh man, something has gone, something's broken in the system, you know?
Man, Britney Spears. Did you see the photographs of her like dancing with knives?
Oh, no. I stopped following her. I had to stop following her.
I knew this because I look at the New York Post app too much.
Okay.
And it occurred to me, like, whatever that conservatorship was clearly bad news. But, like, this woman is obviously not okay.
No, she's obviously not okay. And, you know, who knows if it's the result of the conservatorship or if it's like who knows what actually went on there, you know?
Yeah. So look, we hijacked our podcast and we're talking about pop stars.
I know. Who knew? We're now like the Popcast or whatever those fancy New York Times podcasts are.
I have to tell the listeners that I have been talking to Romolini for a while now doing these podcasts, and she always does them in her office. And I always, like, you know how when you're at the shrink has like a painting on the wall and maybe a little sculpture and a thing, and your eye has somewhere to settle while you're talking?
Yes.
You know? It's like I would look at the cats on the chair in your office, or I would look at the Misfits poster or the weird little stuffed animal you had. And now you have like basically a step and repeat, basically a wall with triangles on it. And so my eye doesn't have anywhere to go.
Just me.
And I'm not a little mad about it.
I had to become professional. I like took this room back from the cats. I realized what had happened. Like once I locked my book, finished my book, everything was done. There was no more book. And I came into this office with fresh eyes and I was like, oh, we're just three feral beasts. Like, this is disgusting. Like, I just, like, I cleaned it out. I cleaned out, like, five boxes of trash. It was just, like, bad. Like, you start to realize, like, your mental illness in a moment like that, when I realized there was just all this mail that I, just mail, just piles of mail I had not dealt with and, like, you know, sticky notes for the book. It just, so many memoirs marked up, but just in piles. It was disgusting. So I cleaned up the whole office. I changed the position of my desk. I got a better lighting system. And I got these stickers, these wall decals.
Oh, that's what they are? They're wall decals?
Yes.
Amazing. And amazing.
It looks so good in here. And I actually feel so much more professional being in this room. So it's, you know, it's
no,
bad
it
for
totally
you. Bad
for
you. Good. Bad for you. Good for me.
And really only bad for me. But it is like you're sitting in front of like an 80s video game.
Oh, totally.
Because some of the triangles are black and some of the triangles are just the outline. And it looks like the outlines are trying to eat the black ones. That's all.
That's all. No, it is totally the shrink. Like, if the shrink changes their decor from week to week, you're like, wait, why is that clock not there anymore? What is that?
I know. And then you have to talk about it.
Yeah. And then you have to talk about it. And they're like, so is it upsetting to you that I moved the tissues? Would you prefer them closer? You know, it's like, oh, fuck off.
Oh, my God.
I had a shrink once who wouldn't let me bring coffee in. It was when I was in New York. Wouldn't let me bring coffee in or bring a beverage in. It was like I was masking or something because I was like, you know, holding the beverage in front of my face.
Oh, stop.
I once had
a therapist who, if I got there early or on time, even on certain days, she would come out and tell me to leave because she had a patient who didn't want anyone to see her.
Oh, come on.
And so like in the rain and the snow, you just have to go walk around the block a few times so that, and it wasn't anybody famous. It was just this person who didn't want anyone to see them.
I mean, look, it is awkward as shit seeing another person at the therapist. Like it is, there's like, there's few interactions more awkward than like walking out and there's someone there and you're like, hey, yeah, we're both here, you know, and like
we're both here
crying and like, you know,
No, it's true. There was one time there was a guy who was before me for a very long time, years. And one day I walked into her office and her little pad was right there. And I just happened to catch what was on it. And it said Osama bin Laden.
Whoa.
She was like, so that was like her only note from his session.
Man,
Osama bin Laden.
I would pay to look at the Shrink's notes of people that I have, like for myself, of course, but for people I have not, like I would buy on eBay Shrink's notebooks. I would love to
That's
look
hilarious.
At that.
Just random Shrink's notebooks.
Just to see what that interaction is like and what they're noting down. I'm in the market for a new therapist. If anybody knows anybody, if anybody's there and wants to fucking treat me, I need to learn. I don't know how to communicate, but I don't know how to advocate for myself, how to confront situations unless I'm being reactive. I don't know how to proactively confront situations very well. And I want to get better at it. I want to get better at all of my communication. I'm kind of like I was saying at the top of this, what I'm finding under all of the trauma is that I'm just kind of a wimp.
But you're not a wimp. You just have things, you have times when you feel like you're not advocating for yourself. So you feel wimpy, but.
Or I'm just avoiding things. And I'm just like, I want to stop avoiding things. And I want to stop getting to the point of like blowing up. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's got like, I want to be able to like let that shit out. And I'm kind of a scared person. Anyway, I want a new therapist and I felt like I had gone, do you ever have this? I felt like I had gone as far as I could with the last person. I was just like, okay, we're done. I could tell we're done. I need a new person. I'd been with that person for 6 years and I was like, we're done.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. Or you, even if you haven't like solved everything, because when do you ever do that?
Never.
You've gone as far as you can with that person. They're not going to give you any new answers. They're not going to ask you any new questions that are going to make you think any new things.
Yeah. And they're just bringing up the same things again. And you're like, no, that's not it. That's not,
that's the worst. That's the worst when they make a point and you're like, no, sorry.
That's not it. Or you're sitting there and you're like, are you dumb? Like sometimes I'll be like, is my shrink dumb? Like, and then, but is it, or am I like, am I just, is this just my reticence to the therapy? It's the therapist relationship is so hard.
It's hard. I mean, I do behavioral therapy now. It's not incredibly deep. You know, it's not about my childhood.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like that kind of therapy, I've done all I can. I have relived what I care to relive. I have figured out what I care to figure out. And like, you know, and I had a different kind of shrink, like when I was in crisis, it was a very different thing than what I feel like I have now. But did I ever tell you about when I was 12 years old? My parents sent me to a therapist. I was always going to therapists.
Okay. And, you didn't tell me this.
I'm talking about who the fuck knows what, like, you know, 12th grade, you know, I mean, the seventh grade dance or some boy I have a crush on or how I don't like math.
Right.
And
right.
He looks at me and he goes, like, what the fuck am I talking about in therapy at 12?
Yeah.
And he looks at me and he's like, do you ever wish you had a penis?
What? I did not see that coming. That is not.
Well, who would? Who would?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. We had a situation where my parents decided, my, you know, Italian teenage working class parents decided I might need a therapist in high school. And they brought me to a therapist. And it was like, I had never seen a house like this. It was at her house. And there were like Tiffany lamps and like fine rugs. And we went in, the three of us. And, you know, she accurately pointed out some things to my parents that my parents did not want to have pointed out. And on the ride home, we're never going to see her again. My mom was like, she's a man hater. And I was like, because she pointed out that maybe my dad was like really aggressive and like nobody was having it. And I was like, I liked her and her books.
Oh, no. Yes. Oh, no.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, no.
And then I went to a friend of theirs who was a therapist whose main therapy was putting crystals on you.
Oh, wow.
Yep. It was a total, and I had to pay. I had to pay myself. I had to pay for therapy. So
really?
She was only $50 an hour, but I had to pay out of my, and I just never paid her. And then she would call me and then we'd have to have therapy about how I didn't pay her.
Like, oh my God.
It was the worst because, like, honestly, when you get into like crystals and shit, it's just like this, you know, something's wrong. Like this, even when you're like 16.
No, it's true. I remember when I was having bad migraines and when I was at Lucky and everybody had a suggestion. And one friend was like, you must go see, when you're in LA, you must go see this homeopathic doctor. I swear to God, they've helped other people. And I would do things just to shut people up. You know, I would go and try.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to the office manager, whoever, for this doctor. And they're like, and we need you not to drink coffee. Already I'm like blowing it off. I can't not drink coffee in the morning. And we need you to wear all white. And I was just like, yeah, if the coffee didn't already make me certain I wasn't going to go here. I mean, I did eventually quit drinking coffee because it can help with migraines, but too much coffee can be bad. Anyway, yeah, wear white.
Yeah, wear white, wear white. No, I mean, it's funny. It's hard to know. Because Western medicine lets women down so often and doesn't believe us and will say things like, oh, you're just stressed. You know, of course we seek out alternative therapies. And it's hard to know where that line is. You know, I've discussed, I've gotten a lot out of people I should have never gotten anything out of. Energy healers, cranial sacral therapy, I think is a revelation. I don't know why. There's no reason, but it just has, I've been in the right place at the right time and it's just felt good. And maybe it's all psychosomatic, but you know, sometimes that shit works. But there are times when you're just like, no, if I start sniffing this oil, it's not going to change shit.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, doctors who can do a combination, and I should say, I'm feeling bad because I feel like we should say we are both very in favor of mental health professionals, which we just
God, I love mental health professionals. Please continue to, oh God, you're right. Cause I don't want to be like that at all. I love therapy. I love my child's therapist, everybody.
Do you ever get bored by your own therapy?
Of course.
I get so bored.
Well, especially because my last therapist was just trauma therapy. So it was just this, and it was EMDR, which is you're just part of it was EMDR. So you're just reprocessing the same memory every week for like, this could go on forever, I guess. What else do you see in this memory? And like, yes, of course, my one reluctance to having a new therapist coming up is that I'm going to have to tell the whole story again. I don't want to tell the story. I think I wrote the book partially just here. Here's a primer.
That's hilarious. But it is true. The whole having to tell the whole story all over again is a fucking thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Who wants it? Who wants it? No, but I love mental health professionals. It is just about finding the right fit, the right chemistry. And look, if you're privileged enough to be in therapy, I think everybody should be in therapy, honestly.
It helps.
It does.
Everybody should have access to it. That's for sure.
For sure. Let's take a quick break from some ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we're back! I went to see a delightful film this weekend.
What did you see?
I went to see Bottoms.
Oh, I heard that's delightful.
Oh, it was such a fun, raunchy, lesbian, fight club, high school comedy. I was like, this is wonderful. And I'm not going to remember anybody who's in it. It's the girl from The Bear, who I love, who's amazing. The main girl from The Bear. And then that other woman who... I can't remember either of them.
I know who she is. She was in a movie that I remember. It was another lesbian movie.
Yes.
I believe.
Yes. It was another Indian lesbian movie. Anyway, I left it feeling like, oh, the kids are all right. It was really great.
And you went to a theater to do this.
I did. I went to the Alamo Draft House and I had a bottomless bowl of truffle popcorn and a vodka tonic at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, the Alamo Draft House is like a revelation. There's one near me too. It's a revelation. It's how movies should be, with waiter service.
With waiter service. It, like, if you could get queso in a movie.
No, it's almost too good. It's almost too much.
No, I will drop so much money because it's just so thrilling to turn to order again and turn the light on. It's just amazing. Yes. I can't believe it.
No, they come and yes. The whole thing is very cool.
Yeah.
No, I think the whole thing is very cool.
You know what we need to talk about? We need to talk about your hair, which is amazing. It looks so good. And you need to explain why this has been a journey.
My hair has never looked better.
It looks incredible.
Never. And there's a reason for it. Yes. A very simple reason for it. It is not my hair. I have extremely thin hair.
That you got from like a straightening treatment, right? Didn't your hair?
I think the straightening treatment coupled with the fact that it was a period of time during which I lost a lot of weight very quickly.
Okay.
And was going through a lot of stress. Just right. You know, so any one of those things, but the three things together, the hair straightening was a Shonda. That was a disaster.
Yeah.
But that was years ago. So my hair is very thin and it was getting very, and I have extensions because I had extensions because my hair was so thin, but it got to the point where on top, it was so thin that you could see my scalp and it just didn't look good. It looked really bad. And I was wearing it on the top of my head every day because there was no other way to wear it that you couldn't see my scalp. I went and talked to my hairdresser because I'm like, you know, the extensions aren't doing it anymore. We got to do something else. So now I have a hairpiece that is fused into it. It's like it's round and it's like lace and you pull your real hair through it. So it doesn't just look like you plopped this thing on top of your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it like whenever it rains, I would always pull my hair back because it would frizz like crazy.
Yeah.
Now, like yesterday, I was walking in the rain. It just made it look better.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like to have good hair is such a revelation. I've never had good hair.
Yeah.
And it's so, yes, I'm sharing that because I think that I don't want to be embarrassed by it. And I don't want people who do similar things to be embarrassed by it.
I think it looks incredible. And I don't think you should be embarrassed by it at all. And also, it looks great. You have amazing hair. So why not have that experience of having amazing hair without having to wear a wig?
Without having to wear a wig. You don't take it off and on. It's there. It stays on for 4 weeks. And then your hair starts to grow. So you have to get it re-put on.
So, and then you can wash it, right?
You can wash it. You can swim with it. You can do all that shit.
That's amazing. And wait. So you don't have extensions anymore?
I don't have extensions. I have about twice as much hair as I did with the extensions because there wasn't much hair to put the extensions on toward the end.
I can't believe that they have, I feel like this is like a revelation. I didn't know that this was this is something new that I had never heard of before.
Yeah. No, it's a thing. It's a thing. And I've seen, you know, lots of women have really thin hair, like no hair on top, like male pattern baldness on top.
Yeah.
And it can even help with that.
Right. But it's easier if you have some on top that they can weave it through.
They can weave it through. There needs to be some hair. It's like a round thing. I'm not describing.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, no. It's like a cap. It's a cap. We're doing all kinds of visuals, listeners. You can't hear, but basically, we're showing you like the diameter around the top of your head. It's like a cap. It's like what I imagine is how they used to do highlights, which is they put a cap on your head,
yes,
and then they pull hair through it, and it was always a horrible disaster. But I imagine for this, it would work really well. It's like Barbie. It's like actually like doll, how they pull the hair through a doll.
It's like doll hair.
It's
exactly like doll hair.
Yeah.
It is. It is stupidly expensive. I will say that.
Okay.
It is like, I think one of the reasons I don't really do injections and shit like that, or I got eyelash extensions once and never did it again, is I feel like this is the beauty thing I spend my money on.
Yeah, because you don't get a ton of anything. You don't go into, you know, the dermatologist and get cosmetic procedures. This is your thing. I think I get more than you do, or more consistently.
You do more consistently.
I do more consistently lasers and shit. But yeah, no, it looks amazing. It honestly, your hair looks like the hair of like a 30-year-old.
It's crazy. I mean, it makes you realize that actresses are wearing wigs and extensions all the time.
Oh, my friend who's a showrunner told me that no, there is not one actress who that's their real hair. There's not one. I mean, you could tell with someone like Nicole Kidman that like she's just, oh, there's just like wigs aplenty. Like it's just always some kind of wig.
Yeah. Someone told me, I don't remember who it was, but that Nicole Kidman's natural hair is very frizzy and gray now.
I'm sure. And you know what? Why shouldn't women be doing this? Men have been doing this shit for years.
Yeah, no shit. No, women should be doing it. I mean, and it, you know, it's traumatic for a man to start losing his hair, but for when a woman starts losing her hair, it is a different kind of traumatic.
It really is. And it's so funny that nobody really talks about it. I mean, and my whole life, nobody talked to me about this. I grew up with like a million grandmothers and nobody talked about the fact that like I was going to have a doll ponytail at some point. Like my hair was going to be so thin. It was just going to totally change. Nobody discusses, because even if you have a full head of gray hair, that hair is just so much different than the hair you knew your whole adult life.
No, gray hair can go. I mean, I met a woman the other day, a hairdresser actually, who had beautiful gray hair and great texture, but that's not how it works for most people. It gets really coarse.
Or thin, or like it's like fine and it's like limp. It's just a totally different texture. Like my hair is blonde, dyed blonde, but the texture of it is the texture of a gray hair because I have gray, I'm half gray at this point.
Yeah.
Although a weird thing happened to me, I don't know why my eyebrows are growing back in dark and I don't know why. My eyebrows were going gray and they started going dark again.
That's fascinating.
I have no idea. These are not penciled and they are like brown. I don't know why my eyebrows started getting thicker and browner.
And you're not doing anything. It has to be something you're eating or something you're putting on your face. It has to be.
It has to be, but I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe it's Nutrafol, but I've been on that for 2 years. I don't know. Anyway, my eyebrows started getting like, they started coming in again. I don't know why.
That is hilarious.
I don't know why. Like my eyebrows and my mustache and like, you know, whatever. All right.
Oh, I've got some wiry hairs on my chin these days.
The chin is one thing. The chin is like just like the chin is like a grandma, but the mustache is like a young man. It's like dark and virile and, you know, just like, it's not gray at all, but the chin is gray. It's so crazy. As I have discussed many times, I wish I could grow a full beard and mustache. I would first off just for the curiosity of it, but second off to hide the neck. But anyway, we are getting way too into vanity talk and we are going to get in so much trouble, about it. So we should stop.
We should move on.
We should move on. You were going to talk about shopping. I am still on a quest for jeans. I am still on a quest for jeans. A listener in our Facebook group posted a pair of Zara jeans that look really good. They look kind of like already broken in. They're a straight leg, not too high of a waist. They were $45. Mm-hmm. I just ordered them. I'm waiting for them to come. I am on a jeans quest. I just want the right pair of jeans.
I sort of do too. And I know, and I don't want to order stuff because I don't know what's, I'm different sizes in different brands and different jeans within the different brands. And I'm like, you know, size 10, 12, they don't usually keep those sizes in stores. They sell them.
Right.
But they run really short in stores and it's a huge pain in the ass. And my body is weird. I don't wear the same. I can't just put on the same type of jean and expect it to look good. Jeans are so hard.
They're so hard. But I'm craving them. Like I felt like I was giving them up for life. Like I was like, okay, that's it. Me and jeans we're just done. But now I've been really like craving. I've been craving a new jean, like with a white button down and a belt. Like, oh, you know, like. So I'm trying out a bunch of things and I did go to the store and, you know, they had like Citizens of Humanity, like those are still a thing. And all the jeans were like $300. And I was like, I don't want to spend $300 for a pair of jeans. And also they're all like weird at the bottom now. Everything's like, there's like, I don't know if you've noticed this. There's a real puddle up at the bottom of pants right now.
Yeah. I have noticed that.
I don't want a puddle up at the bottom. I know I could get them tailored, but like it's part of the cut, I feel like.
Yeah. I know all my jeans are a little cropped and I don't like them when they puddle on the bottom. Although the pair I'm wearing today are a kind of carpenter jeans, so they will.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the look right now is like, I'm a little kid wearing daddy's suit. Like, I feel like there's like a big, like, there's like, remember those railway pictures of the children, those disgusting black and white romance railway pictures of old timey children where like there would be one pop of color in the picture. It would be like the rose and it would be like the boy would be dressed in a suit and the girl would be dressed in a dress and it would be like, we're in love. But it was, do you remember this?
No, sort of the one color thing in the black and white photo sounds very familiar.
There was children. This was, I think this was a big 80s thing. It was like, So let's just overall category. Fetishization of children of any kind. So the Ann Getty's photos were like children were like peas. Like children were suddenly like a pumpkin or something. There's like, do you remember this, the Ann Getty's?
Yes, I do remember that, yes.
She would have babies in stockings. Okay, so like... And then like Celine Dion was really into the Ann Getty's aesthetic. Like I'm going to have to put this all on our Instagram in case anyone has not remembered this or has disassociated and blocked it out because it was grotesque. Okay. Like weird baby photos. But an extension of that is this, what I'm talking about, which is they were on cards a lot. It was a black and white, maybe it was sepia. Boy,
probably sepia.
Boy, like little boy in like a man's like a 50s like man hat, and like he's in a suit, but the suit is way too big for him, and he's with a a little girl and they're at the train saying goodbye and he's giving her a rose or something. It was like romance between children. I can't believe you don't remember this phenomenon. Like there were posters, like this was like a girl poster in dorm rooms thing. It was like as much as like the hunk, because there was also this other trope, which was like hunk, shirtless hunk holding a baby.
Yes, yes. Okay. That's a whole one. Like the newborn baby that fits in his hand. Yes.
Yes. And he's just like, oh, I'm a man holding a baby and look at my abs. So that was the thing that was happening for a while.
That is so funny. How are people, I guess now the fetishization is like the gender reveal things.
Oh, disgusting. Just disgusting. It's all disgusting. I was thinking the other day that like, I'm so far away from having a baby. Like I feel as far away from having a baby as I did, like from babies, like the babies being in my life as I did in my 20s, I think, because now like,
wow,
there's no babies around. Do you have a lot of babies in your life?
Well, my very good friend Michelle lives right around the corner. She's the one who was pregnant at my wedding.
Okay.
And she has a toddler and a newborn.
Okay.
Not so newborn, but like, you know, 4 months old.
So you do have some babies.
So I do have some babies, but no, I remember the moment when I realized, like looking on social media, that all of the assistants at Lucky had children.
Right.
Like all the people who were in their early 20s when I met them are now in their late 30s and even 40s and have families.
Yeah.
Like that really struck me because, you know, for a long time I would sort of hang on to the idea that it was still something I could do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then at a certain point it was like, oh, no. This is, you know, first of all, I don't think I ever really wanted to do it alone.
Yeah.
I knew that about myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But at a certain point it just became like, okay, now it's just definitively not going to happen. You know, like the assistants are having babies.
The assistants are having babies, but also it just feels like they're entering baby jail. You know, like it's just like, oh, I'm not going to see you for another 6 years.
No, it's true. And there was an interesting piece in New York Magazine that I read some of. I didn't read all of it, but it was about what, you know, how babies can get in the way of adult friendship. And they really do. I mean, I feel like some of my friends are coming out of baby jail. And so I see them more and they're free and their kids can take care of themselves at night if they go out to dinner.
That's right. That's right.
But baby jail was, yeah, I love Seth Rogen for many reasons, but he's like, I don't want to have kids. It just doesn't look fun. It's kind of hilarious.
He's turned out to just be the best. I mean, we talk about him a lot, but he's the best. Crush. He's the best.
I have such a crush on him. What could be better? Like a smart, funny, kind of Hamish pothead. Perfect. No,
yeah, exactly. I know. Perfect.
Yeah. Seth Rogen. He's one of my unlikely crushes.
Yeah, well, I don't feel like we would be compatible, weirdly, but I could see the value of him. I cherish Seth Rogen.
I do too.
Oh my God, you know who died this morning? Speaking of
Dianne Feinstein. Dianne, died.
I can't believe it. I mean, I can.
Well, she was 100 million years old, so it's not that surprising. And she had been in failing health.
I know.
But it is weird. Like she's one of those people who you just think she's there are people who you think are already dead and there are people who you think still have time to live. Like, you know how you're like, oh, so-and-so died. I thought he was already dead.
Yes, yes, yes. And then there's other people you're like, I can't believe how young this person died.
You know, my sister-in-law, the interesting thing, I was re-looking at YouTube this morning because
mm-hmm.
The first time I became aware of Dianne Feinstein at all or first saw her was when Harvey Milk was shot.
Yeah.
And she was the one who held the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, it's a real time capsule and very, you know, upsetting to watch, you know, and the people are clearly upset as they're hearing this news. And it turns out my sister-in-law Shireen's father was the comptroller of the city of San Francisco. He was there that day.
Wow.
He was there that day. And Shireen said that later that evening, Joan Baez
mm-hmm.
came and played guitar for the people who worked with Harvey Milk and gave like a private concert to like 30 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to really work for a long time, but I do not want to be going to work at 90.
No.
Like,
no, I think there's a real, I mean, you know, people talk now also about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and how Ruth Bader Ginsburg should have thought to retire at a time when she could be replaced by someone with her politics, you know, but there's something that clicks in with people, you know, certain people can't ever stop with the work.
Well, yeah, because I think, I mean, it's hard to imagine a life for yourself and that's it. I mean, imagine the grief you have to go through when you've had a giant career like that. There must be a degree of grief of letting go.
I'm sure there's a degree of grief, but I think it also has to do with how good a job you've done during all the years you've been working of creating other signposts for yourself.
100%. 100%. I think that probably part of it is, like, I see some of it, it's similar to the things I see with my 13-year-old who is really in between being a child and being an adult. And I see my kid not wanting to let go of certain things, because if they let go of certain things, they're letting go of childhood and they're not quite ready yet, right? It's a transition. Yeah. I think that the reason these people don't want to retire is because it really just marks a transition. Like, it's like, okay, yeah, well, now I'm marching to the grave. But the thing is, the grave's going to come either way.
Anyway.
And you, how do you want to fucking spend your time fucking it, being wheeled into Congress, not like ruining your legacy because you're gone? You can't, you cannot perform at the rate you performed before. Like, you know, It's sick. This is all about ambition, really, ultimately, and about work and identity.
I always think about Art Cooper, who was the editor of GQ for many years. A little bit of a lech, but a very smart guy who really turned that magazine from like a very small trade publication into what it became.
Right.
And he was, you know, I can't say this with 100% accuracy, but there were those who thought he was eased out of his job at Condé Nast and that he did not decide to retire, but was retired. And I was at his going away lunch and he said, his going away like thing, right, at the Four Seasons. And he's like, all of you are taking me out to lunch now. So he was at lunch a couple weeks later with an editor who had admired him his entire career when he had a stroke and died at the Four Seasons. You know, his entire identity was that job.
Yeah. And that was like, who was the guy at Condé Nast who died? Steve, what was his name? Who died? He had a heart attack at some lunch too. He was like one of the publishers of at Condé Nast. I forget his name.
Oh, are you thinking of Steve Florio?
Yes. Yes.
He was a CEO. Yeah.
Yeah. He was CEO and he died. He similarly, like, I don't want that. I don't know what I want toward the end of this, you know, this like, because, you know, I'm in the last, we're all in the last third of our careers, you know, at least, if not our lives. And I don't want that. I don't know. I'm going to be real intentional about how I go out, you know, if I can be. God,
you're gonna
if I can be.
You're going to have things like, you're going to start looming like crazy. You're going to just be weaving things and you're going to be like a really disciplined weaver. Who like wakes up at 7 and is looming already by 7:15. I mean, you're just going to take all your work attitudes and turn it into your hobbies.
I mean, I hope I'm just like Julia. Why can't I remember anything today? The artist's way, Julia Cameron. I hope I'm like just writing books like forever. Like, yeah. I hope I'm doing shit that makes me feel engaged in a way that is also not dragging other people down, you know? That's the thing, you know, it was part of why I also didn't want to be a manager anymore, because I felt like I didn't want to do it. And I, you know how you see your manager just stay in there for way longer than they should? Like, they're not into it anymore. They don't want to be a boss anymore. And I never want to be that person who's just like phoning it in and like affecting other people's lives, you know?
No, I think that's good. I think that's important. I certainly have no desire to ever be a manager again.
No, I know. It's weird. Well, listen, this is it. We're at 50 minutes here. We made a whole episode. Thanks everybody for listening to us. putting up with us when we don't necessarily have an agenda to talk about. And thanks for listening to Everything Is Fine. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it on the platforms wherever you listen to podcasts, particularly Apple Podcasts. It really helps people find the show, helps the show grow. If you want to support the production of the show, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine. We do live events there. We do blogging there. We do special episodes there. If you want to follow us on social media, we're on Facebook with a robust and private Facebook group. We're on Instagram at EIF Podcast. You can find Kim on her Substack, kimfrance.substack.com, which is also called Girls of a Certain Age. You can find me, and this is new, at Jen Romolini's Vanity on Instagram. That's where I'm going to be putting all beauty recommendations. I'll put it in the show notes. The show is mixed and edited by the great Natalie Rivera. Thank you, Natalie. This one was all over the place.
Jen, sorry about this week.
And we'll be back next week.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.